Galatians chapter 5, if you have a Bible, or you can turn to Galatians chapter 5, or if you have a device, your phone, or a pad of some sort, you can click over to Galatians 5. We are in a series called The Nine, and we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And last week, I just want to recap a little bit of what I talked about last week. I was going one day to the grocery store to get some bottled water. Jennifer called me and said, or texted me, I can't remember, said, get some fruit, because she was wanting to eat healthier and cleanse a little. And so I said, okay, what kind of fruit? And she said, I don't care, whatever. And I thought, well, I need some fruit too. And I got there, and I don't know, I said this last week, but I'll just say it again. That's an area that I don't go to often. I'm not a big fruit eater. But I thought, I need some fruit, and Jennifer wants some fruit. And so I got some that I would like, and I got some that she liked. But as I was looking around the produce section, I saw all these various kinds of fruits, things that you don't even think of sometimes. I mean, kumquats and rutabaga and things that you just don't think of sometimes. I don't even know if those are fruits or vegetables. But anyway, some people think that a tomato is a vegetable, but it's actually, I understand, a fruit. Is that right? So regardless, I was all these fruits, and it just kind of hit me that I had been meditating on, reading about, studying the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 here. And what kind of hit me in that store that day was that fruit was created by God for consumption, for the benefits that it gives us health-wise. There's health benefits into eating fruit, but also we need all the fruit. We need all of it. There's some that's full of better vitamins than others, you know. Like if I need some vitamin C, I probably need to go for the citrus. If I need some vitamin, I don't even know. Is A in apples? It would make sense. It starts with an A. I don't know. But anyway, what's the stuff that's good in bananas that helps your muscles? Potassium, all that business. And so we need all of these fruits. And more importantly, if you apply this thinking to the fruit of the Spirit, we don't need to pick and choose the ones that we like and say, well, I don't like that one. It doesn't taste as good. I'm not going to eat that. No, God wants us to have all of these fruit in our life, the fruit of the Spirit, because they bring benefits to our life and our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. They help us in our life. They help us to grow. They help us to mature. And we need all of them. We need all of the fruit. So let's look at them again today. Some of you are probably very familiar with this, but some of you may not be. And so these are the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. The reason we need this is because I talked about this last week, of the toxicity that is in our culture, in our land, even in our nations and often in our communities and in our homes. Toxicity. And so when I wrote the word for the first time, really, the word toxicity, the toxicness of our culture, when I wrote that word toxicity, I immediately saw toxic city. And I thought, we live in toxic city. You don't have to look very far to find this out. I actually experimented with this last week. I thought, I wonder if what I preached about this last week is actually true. And so I did just a little bit of trolling this week. Y'all know what trolling is? It's where you go on to some social media venue. In my case, it's Facebook, but evidently I'm old school because the younger generation think only old people use Facebook now. So I'm officially old people. But I was just trolling a little bit. I was just kind of looking at some of the streams that were on my homepage, and it didn't take me very long at all to come across just a stream of toxic things. People mad at each other, talking bad about each other, and most of my friends are Christians. I'm looking at a lot of these, and I'm thinking, these are supposed to be believers that exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And now, thankfully, I don't think anybody in this room was part of that stream. So I'm very proud of Homefront Church. But I hope that you know that not everybody in here is not going to get into that toxicity of the toxic city that we live in. But it's in our news. It's on the news all the time. It's on the social media. It's reality television shows. Even in the music sometimes that we listen to, just a stream of toxicity that's coming out. And when you think of something that's toxic, something that's poisonous, you think of something that's bad for you. So last week I had a table up here. I'm not doing it this week, but last week I had a table up here. And on one side I put some healthy fruits, bottled water, some juice, and then the other side I put some unhealthy things like Coca-Cola and potato chips and all the stuff we really like, you know. But honestly, when you think about it, I'm not here. This is not a dietary plan, by the way. I'm trying to make this spiritual by applying the natural world that we live in. When you look at the two extremes here, where do you gravitate the most? Because a lot of people, if we're in the culture we live in, they're addicted to the toxins. You know, they need to be having a bite of fruit, and really what they're going to get is some fast food at McDonald's. There's no nutritional value whatsoever, but they would rather have that than what's healthy for them. And if you apply that to the world that we live in today, people seem to be addicted to the toxic spewing that's coming out. Just like it was raining today, it was like there's a deluge of toxin that we live in. And you can't escape it. Now, when I say that, some people will say, well, all things are possible with Christ, and yes, you can. When we get to heaven someday, we will. But Jesus said, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And so if we're in this world, we're not supposed to be of it. In other words, we don't have to consume the toxicity that is out there. We don't have to consume it. We can instead consume the Holy Spirit. Let him get inside of us, and then he begins to produce something better than the toxicity of this world that we're living in. And that's why we need these fruits. That's why this is important. As believers, we need to be different. We need to be rising above the poisonous atmosphere that we're living in, the toxicity in toxic city. So how to be healthy in toxic city? I talked about last week. First of all, I talked about the upward fruits. I just called them the upward fruits to kind of distinguish them. There's 9 of them. I'm doing this series for the next 3 weeks, so I'm just going to take 3 a week. Last week, I talked about the upward fruits, that we look up to God, and as we intentionally begin to pursue these in our life, we pursue love, joy, and peace. All of those come from God. This week, I want to talk about the outward fruit. I want to tell you again, begin to intentionally seek these. I've had twice this week where I know without a shadow of doubt that I wasn't intentional in my pursuit of seeing these fruits produced in my life. Twice that I can think of this week where I just forgot for a minute. I forgot. How many of you in here ever, you forgot you were saved for a minute? Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm a Christian now. I can't do that anymore. You know? there's been those times in my life where, you know, seasons or even last week, there was a couple of times that I can think of immediately come to mind that I forgot to intentionally pursue these in my life. And so what we're talking about is a lifestyle change. We're not talking about going on a diet that you're going to stay on for about, you know, a day or two, you know? But we're talking about a lifestyle change of saying, I'm not going to be that old person that was so toxic. But I'm going to become somebody different. Somebody that's actually healthy to the environment that I'm living in. And so intentionally pursuing the upward fruit is love, joy, and peace. This week we're going to talk about what I call the outward fruit. I say this is outward fruit because this really reveals how we treat others in our life outward, and how we act in our life, how we behave. And I almost hesitate to use that word, but I'm gonna break it down. I'm gonna unpack it in just a minute. How we act in life and how we treat others. And so we need to begin to intentionally pursue these fruits. The fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. These are the upward fruits, kindness and goodness. Let's talk about these this morning for just a few minutes. Long-suffering is the first one. you're taking notes, you can write these down. Long-suffering. Everybody say long-suffering. Isn't that like the worst word you've ever heard? Think about it. I mean, who in here really wants to intentionally pursue long-suffering? Who wants to suffer a long time? Raise your hand. Sign me up, Lord. I don't know anybody who wants to suffer a short time. You know, it's like the worst word. And so I thought, okay, what does this really mean? And I looked it up in the Greek, and the Greek word even sounds bad. The Greek word, let me read it so I don't get it wrong. It's macrothumia. Doesn't that sound like a terminal disease? Yes, he suffers from stage 4 macrothumia. It's not looking good. Macrothumia. I need more macrothumia in my life, Lord. long-suffering. It sounds like just a terrible word, not something that we want to intentionally pursue. But what does it really mean? Well, it's another word we usually don't like, and it's the word patience. Patience. That's one of the meanings of macrothumia or long-suffering. It's the word patience. Now, I got this. How many of you in here could be honest and say, I could use a little patience from time to time in my life? Okay. I got this little bucket up here. I've been reading this book, and the book is called, the name of the book is Everybody Always by Bob Goff, and he's talking about how God wants us to love everybody always. And it's a great book, but one of the chapters he talks in the book about how he knew that he was a very impatient person and he needed more patience in his life. And so he just went to the hardware store, and the way he described it, he got a bigger bucket than this one. But it was one of these, what is that, tin probably or something? A big tin bucket with a metal handle, just like this one, only bigger. The only reason mine is smaller is because I just searched around the church to see if we happened to have one. And we did, but it was smaller. But I looked at the, and the reason he got this bucket, he just decided he was going to start carrying this bucket everywhere he went. And he travels all over the world. And so he's taking his bucket on the plane. People started asking him if he had a bladder problem. And he said, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Thank you for bringing it up. But then he laughed and he said, no, actually, I have a much bigger problem. He says, I have a patience problem. And so I just carry this bucket around, he said, to always remind me to ask the Lord to fill my bucket with patience. And so he carries this bucket. I don't know if he still does it to this day. I don't know. But he carries this bucket around, and he asks God. But what he didn't realize was that in asking God to do that, that gave God really kind of permission to bring people and circumstances constantly into his life that were going to frustrate him and make him want to lose his patience so that he could learn patience. And as I looked at this, I thought, I need a bigger bucket. And so I started looking around the, because I know for me personally, I can't speak for you, but I know for me personally, I need more patience than just this in my life. How many of you say, Lord, I need a bigger bucket? I know some of you in here, Ramiro. No, I'm just playing, buddy. I know some of you in here, y'all need the 5-gallon bucket. How many of you say, I need the 5-gallon bucket? And this was actually full of paint, so this is a workout if you're going to carry that around all the time wherever you go. But how many of you say, I need more patience in my bucket? I need more patience. See, if Ramiro heard me say that, he'd need it right now. But I was joking with him. I'm not the most impatient person I know. I think I know who holds that title. And again, it's not Ramiro. Somebody else in my life. I think I know who holds that title. But I know I need more patience in my life. I know I need it. And so I'm constantly now starting to say, God, I need you to fill my bucket. I need patience in my life. But this word, macrothumia, it means more than long-suffering. It means more than patience. It also means, here's a bunch of these definitions today. It means perseverance, forbearance, constancy, steadfastness, slowness to avenge wrong. Slowness to avenge wrong. In other words, when someone does you wrong, you are slow to act or react. You're slow to act or react. You have control over your temper and emotions, and you don't respond quickly with anger or revenge. Now, some see that as weakness, but can I tell you, it takes a lot more strength to control your temper, to control that anger that rises up inside of you, or to control that feeling of lashing out when you've been hurt in some way or dishonored, disrespected in some way. It takes a lot more strength to have long-suffering, to have patience, than it is just to always be losing your cool, losing your patience. And God wants to see this work in our lives. He wants this fruit to be there in our lives. So if you see this as weakness, I just want to tell you, it takes a lot more strength to not make matters worse by lashing out in anger or bitterness. But when you live in toxic city, when you live in a toxic environment for so long, can I just tell you, I understand this. Sometimes we live in it and we deal with it for so long that at some point we feel like we have the right to lose our patience. We have just cause. This happens over and over and over again in my life. I live in this toxicity. I live in this environment, and I have just cause to lose my patience. Can I just tell you that God is the only one who has ever had just cause to lose his patience with you and me. But he doesn't do it. He's long-suffering. He's steadfast. He perseveres. He has forbearance. He's slow to avenge wrong. He's patient. Some of you came up to this altar even this morning. I didn't plan this way, but you came up to this altar this morning, and you asked God for forgiveness. And I want to tell you something today. He forgives you. And you know why? Because he has long-suffering. He has patience. Remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God actively working in the earth and in people today. So these are God-like qualities. What's God trying to do in our lives when he says, hey, look for this fruit to be produced by my Spirit in your life? What's he looking for? He's looking for himself to be produced in you. His qualities to be manifested in our lives. Because that's who we were originally created to be. And so, the only one who had just cause, who could justify losing his patience, was God, and yet he doesn't do it. And so, we don't need to justify this in our own lives. I know for some of you in here today, you're saying, well, that's just who I am. That's just, you know, that's just who I am. I've always had a short fuse. You know, I've always just been one who I can stands all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. I've always been, or some of you, you blame it on your culture or your upbringing or even your background on your heritage. You say, well, that's just the Irish in me. Or that's just the Greek in me, or that's just the Italian in me, or that's just the black in me, or the white in me, or the Latino in me. What, you know what? No, it's not. It's the devil in you that's got a stronghold in your mind. Because really, there's one more definition of macrothumia, of this word, long-suffering or patience, and it's the word endurance. Endurance. Everybody say that, endurance. I want to tell you, when I hear the word endurance, I'm going to tell you the first thing that comes into my mind is a long-distance runner, a marathon runner, who can endure the pain, literally pain, of a 12 or 24 mile run and finish the course. And the reason I think about that is because I have never been able to do that. And I used to think that I'm not a good distance runner. Now you look at me, you can tell I don't do a lot of running. But my wife did a half marathon 10 years ago when she was 30. She just turned 40 and she decided she's going to do another one. And I told her, this time I'm going to do it with you, but I don't think I can do a half marathon, but I am going to do the 5K because I've never done anything like that in my life. Even when I was in the best shape of my life, I found it hard to run long distances. I could do short sprints pretty quick, but long distance I couldn't. And so I was telling Jennifer this last week. I said, I started thinking about why is that I just never was able to do that, even when I was young and in the best shape of my life. And I had to go all the way back to my childhood. And I had a coach, and I'm pretty sure his name was Coach Satan or Coach Lucifer or something, but I can't remember his name really. But he was just mean. I was a kid, I was a child, elementary school, and I had this mean coach. And I'm not going to go into all the details of just how mean he was, but if I told you, you'd be thinking, if that happened today, he'd be fired and in jail, okay? But I remember he would tell us to start running in our gym class, and we'd start running around the big field there in East Texas where I grew up. And I knew that if I was one of the slow ones, he was going to be mean to me. He was going to make fun of me. He was going to embarrass me in front of my friends. And I did not want to be one of the slowest ones. And so I ran faster than I should have. And I got such a debilitating pain in my side because there was no real coaching going on. I mean, he didn't tell us how to run properly, how to do the proper stretches, how to breathe right so that you can endure for a long time. It's just start running. Whoever's slowest, I'm going to beat you up, you know. And so I got this pain in my side that was so bad that I had to stop and catch my breath and barely could even walk because it was so bad. And sure enough, he's yelling at me and Watson, you know. And I just thought in my mind, I can't do this. I can't do this. And my whole life, I'm 50 years old, my whole life I've thought, I can't do this. I can remember thinking back to high school, and I had a buddy who was, he was my best friend at the time. He was in field and track. I'm taking too long on this point. He was in field and track, and he said, come running with me. And I told him, I said, I can't. And I was playing football at that time, and I was running track, but I was doing high jump and some sprints and stuff. I said, I can't do the long distance stuff. And he said, well, just come out with me. I'm going to be running out by your house because I lived out in the country. I'm going to be running out. Just come out and run with me. Go as far as you can. And he actually coached me. He showed me some techniques. And he said, and if you keep going and don't quit for a while, something's going to happen. You're going to get that second wind, they call it, that surge of endorphins. And then you're going to feel like you can run forever. And you know what happened? He was right. It happened in my life, but he was so far ahead of me that I still thought, I'm too slow. I can't do this. And I realized something. I realized that I had a stronghold in my mind. Now, I never was going to be good at it in the sense of win awards because that was just not how I was gifted, okay? But I had a stronghold in my mind that I just could not do it. And I just told my wife, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to break through this stronghold in my life, and I'm going to run a 5K. I'm going to see if I can do this. So y'all are holding me accountable. I'm going to lose a little bit of weight, and I'm going to get in better shape, but I'm going to break through it. But here's the point. The point is we need that ability to endure, to go past the pain that we're feeling, and to learn techniques in our life that when somebody comes along or a circumstance comes along and we feel like giving up, we feel like losing our patience, losing our cool or whatever, say, God, I need to break through this stronghold in my life. This is not who you are. You can say all you want. That's my heritage. That's my upbringing. No, that's the enemy that's got a stronghold in your life. but you can break through and you can endure. This is the fruit of the Spirit that God is looking for. He's looking for long-suffering. Everybody say long-suffering. Patience and endurance. How does this relate to relationships on the outside? Have you ever had that one person in your life that's just hard to love? It's almost like they've made it their life's ambition to tick you off. Come on. Come on. Some of you scooting down in your seat, you're kind of like, I've been that person to somebody. I know. You know what? Let me just say, God is long-suffering with us, and he's calling us to endure and have patience and suffer long with one another. Because it comes back to that first fruit of love, that he's calling us to love everybody always. So everybody say long-suffering again. Patience. Endurance. That's number one. Number two, outward fruit is kindness. Kindness. Now remember, these are the outward fruits, what comes out of our lives and how we treat others on the outside. When you think of the word kindness, usually we think of, you know, someone who is nice, they're sweet, they're pleasant to be around, they're kind. But if you go through the whole list again, now you've already gotten ahead of me there, brother. Not supposed to have useful, whatever that word is. That's not supposed to be up there yet. Whenever you think of that word kindness, though, you think of someone who's nice, who's sweet, who's pleasant to be around. But when you think of all of the fruits of the Spirit, there's other words that sound similar. Kindness, goodness, and gentleness almost sound like the same thing. So why would God repeat himself? I don't think he repeats himself. I'm trying to teach you something here today. I'm trying to go a little deeper into some of the meanings of these words. This word kindness, it means actually two things. It means useful and it means benignity. Now, I know what usefulness means. And I want to be thought of as a useful person. I don't want anybody in here to ever say to me, oh, that Pastor Keats, he's just useless. I don't want that to be said of me. I know what useful means, and I want to be useful. But what in the world is benignity? I mean, that was literally in the Greek definition of the word kindness, and I'm looking at that word, scratching my head. Benignity. Am I even saying it right? I looked it up phonetically to see if I was saying it right. I'm saying it right. It's benignity. And so I go to my wife, who is much smarter than me, and I said, hey, I'm going to say a word to you, and I want you to tell me if you've ever heard this word and if you think you know what it means. I said, and she said, okay, shoot, give it to me. I said, benignity. And she said, that's a made-up word. You just made that up. I've never heard that word in my life. I said, no, it's right here. It's in my concordance. It's not my concordance, my Strong's. What's the word? Concordance. It's right here. So I had to go look it up in another dictionary. The word benignity, who in here just think you know what this word means? Some of you may actually be smarter than me and my wife, okay? Very few people. It's derived from the word benign. Benign. All right? It's actually there. It's in the word, benign. And I had this thing a few months back growing on my face, side of my head here, actually, right under my sideburn. And my wife said, I think that thing's growing. You need to go check it out. So I went to the doctor, and he said, well, I can take a piece of it off and study it, do a biopsy on it and see what it is. And I said, well, it's not very big. If you're going to take a piece of it off, just take the whole thing off. And he said, okay. And he just took it off. And then I got the report back that it was benign. In other words, it was harmless. It was not cancerous. I said, well, what was it? Some sort of ingrown zit. I don't know. But anyway, I know it's gross. But anyway, he said it's benign. That's good news. Benign is good news. You want to hear benign, right? Because that means it's non-cancerous. Another way of thinking about it again, we're talking about the toxic city that we live in. It's non-toxic. It's non-harmful. The word kind means useful and benign. Now, what does that mean? Because if I have something in my body that is benign, it's still useless. I don't want it there. You know, just take it off, you know. So what does this mean? Let me say it a different way. It means helpful and not harmful. So let me bring this right down to where we live today. My wife comes in, and let's just say I'm reading a book. More likely, I'm watching the NBA playoffs. But I'm just going to say, since I got this handy, I'm reading something. She comes in, says, hey, honey, can you help me out? Can you take the trash out? And I say, no, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. Keep reading. Is that being useful? Is that being helpful? No. But what if she comes back and says, honey, I'm really busy. Could you please help me and take the trash out? And I go, fine. And I stomp into the kitchen and I throw open the door and I grab the trash and I'm throwing it all over the house as I'm taking it out and I open up the front door and I throw it out there and I say, there, you happy now? Is she happy? Why? I was useful. I was useful, but in a harmful way, in a toxic way. And I was really good at acting that out too. You know why? Because it's happened. But here's the truth of the matter is, sometimes we think we're being helpful, but are we being helpful in a harmful way? Because if we are, we're not being kind. God wants us to be kind towards one another. One of the most kind people I know is Joe Stornello. I'm just going to float your boat here a little bit, Joe. But Joe is one of those guys who is so helpful in such a nice way. And he's not mean, you know? I mean, we had stuff we had to do here. We had scaffolding up this week at the church. It's not there now. But I couldn't do it by myself. I called Joe. I said, hey, you got some time to come up and help me set this up? Because we needed to get up and replace. How many of you noticed that we finally, after years, have replaced? Okay, so we had a broken ceiling tile up there just dangling. But we replaced it, and Joe said, oh, I'll get some guys. We'll get up there and do it. And I said, well, okay, but those panels we had to take out of the way. And I said, me and Andy, we'll knock that out Sunday morning before church. So he texts me. He says, you know what? We took care of it. We got it all done. We even put the paneling back up. I mean, he's embarrassed that I'm talking about it. But that's an example of just that kindness, that useful helpfulness that's helpful in a non-harmful way. That's what God is. This is hitting us right where we live, isn't it? This hits us right where we are. This is what God wants us to produce in our life. Why? Because that's how he is. He wants to help us in a non-harmful attitude or non-harmful way. He wants us to be patient. He wants us to be have endurance, to have that long-suffering with one another. And he wants us to have that useful helpfulness that's not harmful in some way. These are the things that we are to become. Because remember this. I talked about this at the end of my message last week. A tree is known by its fruits. I mean, there's more leaves, there's more wood involved with any fruit tree than the actual fruit that it produces. But it's still known by the fruit that it produces. And God wants you to be known by the fruit that's coming out of your life. Are you becoming love? Are you becoming joy? Are you becoming peace? Are you becoming patience? Are you becoming kindness? And then the third one here, outward fruit, is goodness. It's goodness because, you see, this is what God is really trying to do within you. He's wanting his spirit to change who you are on the inside. So that what comes out of you then is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of his spirit. And he ultimately is good. Now this word, goodness, it means moral excellence, integrity, holy, or holiness. Two problems with that word, goodness or holy. Sometimes when you say the word holiness, people think of a movement or something that happened that maybe got out of control in some denominations or whatever. When you think of the word holiness, a lot of times what people do is they shrink back and they say, oh, I'm not under law anymore. I'm not under the Old Testament law. I'm under grace now. Jesus became unrighteous for me so that I could become the righteousness in Christ. Can I just tell you this, please? Perk up and listen. Don't go to sleep on me on this last one here today. Yes, I am so grateful and thankful that Jesus took on my unrighteousness and gave me his righteousness. I believe this and I teach this. We are saved by grace, grace alone. It's not how we act. It's not what we do. It's not our moral excellence. It's not our holiness that saves us. And I'm so thankful for that. But let me just say this. God is still looking for change in our life. Once we say yes to him, he's wanting to do a work on the inside of us now that begins to turn us from the toxic world that we were spawned from completely to a different world of his kingdom of holiness and purity, moral excellence. He's wanting to see fruit in our life. He's expecting to see fruit in his followers. And one of those fruits is goodness. It's holiness. Another problem with this word holiness, though, or goodness, is that it's impossible. It's impossible. Jesus even said, I believe it was Luke 18, he said, there's none that are good except for the Father himself. But he also said this, and I keep coming back to this verse. It's in John chapter 9. And I can't find it in my notes, so put up that scripture on the. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You cannot bear this fruit, any of this fruit, but especially the fruit of goodness or holiness. You cannot do that without him. We have to have him. We have to stay connected to the vine and let the Spirit of God continually fill our lives, fill our bucket. And then all things are possible. Without him in our life, it's impossible to have holiness. It's impossible to have this goodness. But with him in our life, we can do all things. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. Remember, these are God-like qualities. God wants to transform you. Another word for transform is metamorphosis. And when you think of the word metamorphosis, we're talking about a lot of natural things in nature here, trees and fruit. When you think of metamorphosis, you're talking about a bug or a worm that's going through a metamorphosis, that's turning into something that doesn't have to crawl in the mud anymore, that's not ugly and slimy anymore, but something that can rise above, that's beautiful, and fly. And that's really the transformation that God's trying to do in all of our lives. He's trying to put his qualities, God-like qualities, into your life. And when we think of a God-like syndrome or God-like qualities, a lot of times we think of, I don't know, Bruce Almighty or something where we have all this power to do whatever we want to do. No, God is saying the real God-like qualities, their love, their joy, their peace, their patience, their kindness, and their goodness. Those are the qualities that he's wanting to transform us into so that we are free then to be who we were always created to be in his image. Is this good today? Amen. Let's give God praise for his word. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up today and because when we talk about outward things, I said this earlier, but I was hesitant to use the word behavior change. Religion looks for behavior change without a heart change. The problem with that is you can change your behavior for a little while, but you cannot sustain it if you're the same person you've always were, living in toxic city. But if you understand that what God is looking for is not just an outward behavior change. Yes, he wants to see a change in our outward behavior, living in purity and holiness and treating others with kindness and patience and long-suffering and never giving up loving on another. Yes, he wants to see that outward change, but he's more interested in what's going on the inside of us. He's wanted to change our hearts. And my childish self was still wrapped up even 50 years later in thinking there's just some things I can't do. But now my wiser, more mature self realizes that that was a stronghold in my mind, and that yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without him, I can do nothing. But with his Spirit, with his power filling my life, filling my bucket, I can do all things. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes today. How many of you in here just say, I've had a stronghold in my mind. I've had a stronghold in my mind telling me that I couldn't really love people that way unconditionally, or I couldn't really have true joy in my life, or I couldn't really have peace, or I couldn't really operate in patience and long-suffering with endurance. Maybe it's you've had a stronghold in your mind that you're just not a kind person, and that's just not who you are, or that you can't live in holiness, you can't live a pure life. It's a stronghold that the enemy tries to tell you, because with him all things are possible. But how many of you just say today you've had a stronghold? You just had something. A stronghold is something that's held on to for a long time, a thing that you believed about yourself that just isn't true. Maybe it has been true in the past, but it doesn't have to be true of who you really are. How many of you have to say that's me today? Nobody's looking around. Everybody just raise your hand if you say that's me. Amen. Amen. I did this last week. We've got 5 minutes before we have to end this service today. I'm going to do it again this week. If you want to break free from that stronghold and see the fruit of the Spirit begin to be produced in your life, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to ask you to come down here. If you need more patience in your life, you know you do. Come on down right now. You need more endurance in your life, and you know you do. Come on down. If you need more kindness, some of you want to be helpful, but you're not sure how to do it without being harmful. Come on down today. And I don't know anyone really who doesn't need more holiness in their life, more goodness. We all do. But some of you may have a stronghold, and you just need a breakthrough. Come on down today. Spread out over here off to the side here so that I'm going to do this. And I'm going to invite anyone who's sitting today, if you want to come and just stand with some of these that are up here. But the Bible talks about a laying on of hands. And I don't believe that there's anything mystical or magical about my hand being laid upon you. But there is a connection point that God tells us to do. So I'm just going to pray for the Spirit of God to fill your bucket today. The Holy Spirit to fill your bucket. And as you consume the Holy Spirit, begin to ask him for that what you need today, that breakthrough that you need, whether it's patience, whether it's kindness or goodness, just ask him for it today. Everybody just pray. Open your hands up like you're going to receive something. Don't resist this today. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to now begin to come and fill these lives.